today's news. Hello and welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news stories of the day through the papers and press of yesterday. Well, can only be one topic for this one, surely. Leap years. They only come round every 4 years, you know. So it's worthwhile mentioning it now, isn't it? And more surprisingly than I thought, perhaps, quite a bit of mention of them in the papers over the years. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised, I don't know. But you can go all the way back to the Mona's Herald of Tuesday, February the 12th, 1839, under a column entitled Useful Problems. It might be useful for you to find leap years from 1801 to 1899 inclusive, we are told. Rule, if the right-hand figure or its half be an odd number, it is not. But if half the right-hand figure be even, it is a leap year. An example, is 1889 a leap year? It is not, we are told, because 9 is an odd number. Is 1840 a leap year? It is, because the half of 0 is even. Is 1842 a leap year? It is not, because the half of 2 is an odd number. I'm not quite sure how half of 0 is even, but there we are. You can try that at home if you like. We skip forward to 1932, almost 100 years later, would you believe, the Ramsey Courier, Friday, February the 5th, a leap year social. I don't know whether there were many of those on the Isle of Man this year. A leap year ball and whist drive was held in St Paul's Church Hall on Tuesday evening in aid of the GFS. The whist drive was held in the upper hall and dancing took place in the lower hall from 8 p.m, the music being supplied by the Sylbaines Orchestra. The dance programme included many novelty dances, which added greatly to the enjoyment of the evening. Miss S. Moisey was the MC for the whist drive, and at the conclusion, the prizes were presented by Mrs. M. W. Harrison, we are told. The prizes for novelty dances were awarded as follows. The leap year dance first was Miss Ethel Coffey. The statute dance, hands up if you know what that is, Mrs. K. Kennish and M. Hudson. The spot foxtrot, Mrs. H.T. Midwood and Mr. F. Turnbull. The spot waltz, Miss M. Christian and Miss Quirk. Mr. S. Bolton was the MC for the dance. Sounds a good night out. The following year, 1933, the Ramsey Courier in April, on April the 21st to be exact, a Friday, at the Cinema House at the beginning of next week, a bright comedy entertainment entitled Leap Year will be shown. Tom Walls has the leading role and for the first time discards straight farcical comedy for smart, sophisticated romanticism, and as a modern Casanova gives a polished, spirited portrayal well sprinkled with humour. Briefly, the story is as follows. Sir Peter Trallion of the Foreign Office seeks rest and refuses an assignment to follow Paula, wife of a foreign financier who is under suspicion. He finds himself at a loose end and through a wrong telephone number meets a charmer who insists on concealing her identity. This leads up to numerous thrilling and amusing situations. The reviewer goes on to say Tom Walls is resourceful as the polished, sophisticated Peter, at the same time exploiting his inimitable humour. The story, an original effort for the screen from the pen of A.R. Rawlinson, is up to date and turns on a neat point which allows comedy and romance to blend in engaging proportions. Tuneful and appropriate music gives full expression to the pleasing and popular romantic interludes. Another British comedy is being shown tonight and tomorrow night, and that's entitled Here's George. I thought it was going to be George Formby, but it's not. It featured George Clark. In the Alamo Times of Saturday, March the 7th, 1936, we have an article entitled These Leap Year Babies. Just one on the Isle of Man in 2024, I understand. Happy returns, we are told, in 1936 to Sammy Dalgleish, Reggie Shannon, and baby Stevens and Cool. It's unlucky, says the article, to be born on February the 29th because you only have a birthday every 4 years. But apparently that is the only unlucky thing about the day, as the only two men on the island born on February the 29th, whom we know, seem to have made good. Of course, you can get over the birthday business by celebrating it on 2 days, on the 28th and on March the 1st, just to make sure. A recruit who joined up during the Great War got into trouble about the 29th birthday. The sergeant who was taking particulars asked his birthday, and when he said February the 29th, he was greeted with a burst of profanity and told there was no such date. and he was put down as March the 1st. We then have a picture of Mr. Frank Samuel Dalgleish, MLC, JP, who was born on February the 29th, of course, 1868. So he only had 16 birthdays up to the 1930s. Mr. R.G. Shannon, the well-known Douglas accountant, was born on February the 29th, 1876. So he has had 14, we are told. When the calendar was altered, three leap years were selected to be reduced to common years, viz. 1700, 1800, and 1900. So Messrs. Dalgleish and Shannon had to wait 8 years between their birthdays at the commencement of the century. And it finishes with a picture of baby Stevens. May we offer them many happy returns and extend every good wish and the best of luck to baby Stevens, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Harry Stevens of Peel Road in Ramsey, and to Audrey, daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Cool, 24 Mona Street, Douglas, who came into the world on the 29th of last month, namely last Saturday, and that was 1936. So if any of these people were alive, they would be in their 80s. I like to hope they are. And if you are and you're listening, get in touch. It'd be lovely to hear from you. 1944, the Ramsey Courier, Friday, March the 3rd. A few fancy dresses at the Leap Year Ball of 1944. Mrs. Alexander and Mrs. Jean Skinner, as Darby and Joan, won first prize for fancy dress at the Leap Year Dance held in the Pool Ballroom on Tuesday. Miss Ruby Neal, as a gypsy, received second prize, there being only five contestants. A pair of silk stockings was won by L.A.C.W. Blair and a cigarette lighter by Mr. Lawrence Neal. The dance was organised by the Lurgy Minstrels and was in aid of the Cigarette Fund for Services. Music was provided by the Andrians Dance Band. All sorts of timely pieces there, isn't there? Silk stockings as a prize or cigarette lighters. Four initials but no Christian name, perhaps. Mind you, could you imagine the Lurgy Minstrels might still be going? And finally, in the Isle of Man Times of Friday, January the 1st, 1960, a leap year, of course, Uncle Jack writes leap year curiosities. Imagine temperatures soaring into the mid-60s and 70s and it's Christmas. Imagine it is summer and there is snow on the ground. Sounds some sort of topsy-turvy land, doesn't it, says Uncle Jack. But without any leap years, our rather makeshift calendar of today would eventually bring about these climatic phenomena. How? Well, Uncle Jack goes on to explain. Briefly, he says, our present year of 365 days is not really correct. A correct one is 5 hours, 48 minutes and 46 seconds longer, which means that gradually over the years, our months could be slipping back into the wrong seasons. In 10 years' time, January the 1st would go back to what should be December the 29th. And in 200 years' time, that's 200 years from 1960, January the 1st could be somewhere in what is now November, if it was not for the leap year. By the adding of one day in every 4 years, most of the hours are made up and we retain our months in their correct seasons. If it was not for this, only once in every 1,500 years would January the 1st really be January the 1st. Complicated, isn't it, says Uncle Jack. Well, yes, I think it probably is for most people. If you find it so, don't be afraid to admit it. The ancients just couldn't understand it at all. And then he goes back to the Egyptians and how they looked at the calendars. And then skips to Julius Caesar. And he says, we're inclined to think of Julius Caesar as a tyrant emperor who was assassinated in a play written by William Shakespeare. But he really existed. And in some ways, it is him to which we owe the certainty that months will fall in their correct seasons. He was a progressive man, and when his astronomers advised him to reduce the year by one day, he did. That gave us a year of 365 days, and every 4 years he decided we would add a day to make up for the lost hours. That was the birth of our current leap year. This calendar, which we called the Julian calendar after Julius Caesar, worked rather smoothly, but it was not, however, perfect. By 1582, it was obviously going wrong. Every 128 years, the calendar was gaining a day, which by rights should never have existed. And then into this predicament stepped Pope Gregory the 12th. He took 10 days away and decided to omit a leap year once in every 400 years, or every time the number could be divided by 400. All other years, he said, would be leap years if they could be divided by 4. You paying attention? Are you keeping up? The year 1900 was one, 1960 is one, but the year 2000, been and gone, of course, was not. Even today, however, says Uncle Jack, finishing off, however, Despite all the work that's gone into making the calendar so near perfect, it is still ever so slightly ahead of the sun. We gain 26 seconds every year, which is a day in every 3,323 years. And there does not, says Uncle Jack, seem to be much we can do about it, does there? A happy new year, he concludes with a wink. Leap years. Yes, who knows what'll happen? They might change the calendar again in our time or someone else's time. You never know, do you? For the time being, I hope you enjoyed your leap day, whatever you were doing on the 29th of February, and don't forget, another one will be coming along in 4 years' time, whatever you're doing. It was news going back to the Romans and the Egyptians' times. It was news in the 30s and 40s and 50s, and of course it was news this year, 2024, a leap year. We'll think about it again in 4 years' time, shall we? Cheerio. I should make up my mind, I got nothing to lose. You're gonna be yesterday's news.